I should give you just a little look into a kind of a flip side of this that I don't often get a chance to look through, but it's another thing that I do often at the first visit if I'm visiting a school, middle school or high school, a scenario where they're asking me to help them with improv. And I ask, and I'll ask you now, what's your number one fear in improvisation? What's your number one fear?
Being wrong,
playing wrong notes, right? How many of you could relate to that? A lot of head nodding, right? So when the middle school or high school kids say, I say, okay, so now we're gonna play all the wrong notes. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, let's play all the wrong notes because if we can figure that stuff out, maybe we'll be okay. I'm like, how are we gonna do that? So I'll show you. So let's say that I want, let's say you play an A natural. Everybody find an A natural. So here's what we're going to do. I've made the time where we're going to do this a little faster than I would normally do it with a different age group, and I want you to experience this, because literally, if you can erase the fear of wrong notes, then a lot of great things are going to happen. So, okay, here's what we're going to do, folks. I'm going to start on A concert, and you're going to follow the bouncing trombone slide. I'm going to put on a play along, and we're going to start on A. When I bob the horn, we'll go up to B flat concert. When I bob the horn, we'll go up to B. Eventually, I'll do this, and we'll turn around gradually. And then we'll talk, and your rules are, number one, breathe where you need to so you don't die. Number two, try not to play any louder than the play along so you can kind of hear the tension or release. Number three, if we're playing a note that seems wrong, weird, dissonant, doesn't belong, play it a little louder, crescendo. If you're playing a note that seems like it fits, it's consonant, it's cool, play it a little softer. Good, we'll talk. Okay, so we start on A, but only when I start you.
2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Now, your tolerance of dissonance is far more advanced, but trust me, almost all the hands go up. I said, great. Now I'm going to do another thing. We're going to do this over a track that's just a little slower, and we're going to put a little rhythm to it and go like this. 2, 3, 4. And so eventually we'll go down 1, 2, and 4, so chromatic scale. Now, if I'm doing this with middle school, I may only do 3 or 4 or 5 notes. If I'm doing it at high school, we may do an octave and a third or whatever, who knows. But we're gonna do this, and then we're gonna talk.
1.
Yeah.
2.
Starting on A. 2, 3, 4. First pass, so it's a moot question, but I would say, how many of you hear wrong notes now? And less hands would go up. And then, if it's high school, I can do this. I say, we've got one more exercise for you. I'm going to put a lower neighbor on each one. It's going to sound like this. I'll demo 2, 3. But eventually, we'll turn around. Okay? So, this one's going to be a little slower. And again, I probably wouldn't do this with middle school, but I will get to it with high school. So here we go.
1, 2,
as loud as I can do it.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you. buds, and almost no one raises their hands. I say, well, how is it that we went in 5 minutes from hearing wrong notes almost all the time to hearing no wrong notes when we're using the same notes over a chord progression you don't even know? So, give me an idea of some of the answers that you or your students might give me. How did we get from a point where most of these notes seemed dissonant to most of these notes seeming okay? Yes. Think about what we did differently and how we...
I guess just the pattern that we were hearing. You're hearing less of like a consistent drone over a moving line versus you're hearing a pattern over something else.
Okay, we're building. This is good, yes.
I guess even if you do think you're playing the wrong note, the right note would both be a half step apart.
So also good. Also great.
The rhythm adds a little something that's not just whole notes singing over something that doesn't feel like it.
Absolutely. One more. Yeah.
Just like exposure.
Exposure to raise your tolerance of dissonance because you've heard more of dissonance, right? All of these things are true. First thing, if you have a hand free, clap this rhythm. Everybody walking down the hall would think you meant to do that. There's no mistake. Rhythm is the most powerful thing we have. The right pitches, quote unquote, with lousy rhythm sound wrong. Weird pitches with great rhythm often sound very right. So the first thing we learn is groove is more important than pitch when we're soloing. We listen to the groove, we lock in with the groove. That's more important than playing the Plutonian scale. It's more important for us to lock into the groove. So when I first did the exercise, we did it arrhythmically. And then I added a little rhythm. And then it became more complex rhythm a little bit, and we explored the half-step relationship. Anytime we're in a dissonance, we're a half-step away from a consonance, unless the chord shifts under us to make a consonant anyway. So that's a valuable lesson. And then we learned that by doing these rhythms, we're creating a theme, this melodic theme. It may be a redundant theme, it may be a boring theme, but it's a theme. And when you play a theme, people think you meant to play that, right? So we're learning in a matter of minutes, the most important things are play in the groove of what you're with. If you play a weird note, you're a half step away from a resolution. And create a theme. Listen to what you play and comment on it again. And then I have the students explore that. I also have the students explore playing wrong notes and making them right. Say, okay, so we'll play an F7 chord, great. What's a weird note? Oh, F sharp, great. So play it. Oh, okay, so that sounds like a mistake. Now play it and resolve it so it sounds like it's not a mistake. And they do it. And we go around the room, and kids love that of any age because they're solving problems and it's easy to do and it's fun. And that's great because as a jazz musician, you're supposed to be unique when you solo and you're supposed to sound like yourself, not other people. So that's a great way of breaking the ice. You can establish within a half hour that there are no wrong notes. It's only a question of tension and release. How much red you want in the painting, how much Tabasco you want in the cooking. It's not wrong, it's just to taste, season it to taste. And, you know, some people like only vanilla, but most people like a little Rocky Road, a little mint chip, something else to spice it up. That's what dissonance is. So then they realize later, if you're teaching them some chord scale relationships, it's not about right and wrong. It's simply about chord scale will give you what's consonant. Everything else is available, but you have to be ready to address it, resolve it, and sell it. And when you sell it, there's one that I was talking over breakfast this morning with an educator. He said, how do you get that concept across? I said, my favorite philosopher, George Carlin. One of my favorite philosophers is a comedian.
Yes.
He said, the difference between a cat and a dog. How many of you like dogs? And I asked the kids, how many of you like dogs? Raise your hands, you like dogs. How many of you like cats? Cats. Okay. So you come home, your dog greets you at the door. You know something's happened. The dog has knocked over the garbage or eaten the entire couch or something. Because the dog confesses as soon as you're at the door, the dog's like, hey. A cat, on the other hand, will run into a plate glass window in your house at 90 miles an hour. Bam! It bounces off of it. And you turn around, and the cat's looking at you like... You're like, cat, you just like ran into the wall. And the cat's like, you want to see me do it again? Feed me. So the cat does. Now later, the cat may go behind the couch with the other cats and go, oh, I can't believe I did that in front of Carson. Oh my God. You know, but in front, the cat does not apologize. And that's why, when jazz musicians evolve from swing musicians in the swing era, largely played by the rules diatonic, the proper chord scale relationships plus blues tones. Then we came bebop in the 1950s, and we got these sharp nines and these flat fives and these ridiculously fast and ridiculously slow tempos and horn-rimmed glasses and berets and weird lingo, and they were not known as jazz dogs. To this day, we're cats. Because we say, the door's not locked. If you don't like it, you may leave. This is what I'm doing. And so, it doesn't mean dogs aren't cool. There's just no anthropomorphic association with them being cool. It's associated with cats. So I again remind my middle school and my high school students, you have to be like cats when you solo. If you play a note that you didn't expect to play, it is not wrong. You repeat it, you resolve it, you build it into your solo, it becomes part of your next direction, your theme, and because of that, it is not a mistake. It is only a fresh improvisation. So fresh, you didn't expect to play it. Which is good, because if you play things you don't expect to play and follow those paths, you will enjoy improvising. If you only play what you expect to play, you're going to be bored and quit soon. You have to follow those unexpected paths. That's your danger. That's jazz. That's improvisation. Cool? So I'm going to point you to some resources that I have for you.